Hello and welcome to ABW Live. I'm your host John, and we're here tonight to talk about another transfer. One I think we all knew was coming. Lucas Torreira. I'm not actually sure how you're supposed to say it yet. I should have learned that before we came on. But yeah, we're going to talk about him tonight. I know there's been some talk about two other signings as well. None of them are official yet, so we'll mention them briefly. But just want to introduce my guest for this evening. We've got Dom, all the way from Canada, joining us. You all right, Dom?
Not too bad. I'm just wondering what's going on with the lack of beard. I think that needs an explanation before we carry on.
So, I decided to start running again, which you said was bad for
why,
me.
Why did you do that?
One of my friends had a charity football game that he was trying to get fit for, that he plays in every year, or he's supposed to play in every year. And he needed someone to go running with, so I said I'd go running with him. Yeah, and then I started running and it got really hot here, and Dom, you know I can't deal with hot weather. So it was like over 20 degrees. It was like nearly 30, and I had just there was too much hair. Aerodynamic as well, like runners do.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I the fact I can see that there is in fact another chin there. I can see my top lip, which I now have a phobia of, which I didn't know I had before. Yeah, so it's horrible. Anyway, so that's annoyed Jason enough because we're not talking at all about football. We also have on tonight Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Evening, John. It's a bit weird that I've got the biggest one of the bigger beards.
Well, so. Yeah. You can be number one every now and again. Right. And we also have Danny. I'm not going to call you GFP this week.
No, it's although I am looking at the registration plate, T113GFP. Put the fixing plate between the two ones. The GFP, but it's on a really old red Kawasaki in London somewhere. So if you own that, let me know and I'll give you 50 quid for it.
Well, there you go. Right, so we are here to talk about Lucas Torreira. Obviously, I've seen quite a lot of him because I watched Serie A, and I was quite excited, although a little confused when we were first linked with him. It's been going on a while, and then, you know, it was all said that it was going to be done, and we're just waiting for the medical, and we come back, and people were starting to get a little bit worried because they saw him performing a World Cup. Thought, actually, he looks quite decent. But it's all over the line now. Flew straight in from the tournament to get his medical done and all his photos. He's going to be extended holiday and then back, I think they said early August. So it's, you know, we won't see him probably into the team until late August, early September would be my guess. But I just want to get your guys' thoughts. Danny, you first, because I know you three really haven't seen him other than this World Cup. What have you made of him? Because obviously everyone's kind of been looking out for anyone who's been linked with Arsenal during the tournament.
I was a little surprised with all the hype around him and that he's virtually on the verge of signing for Arsenal. I was just looking that the first two World Cup games, he came on with 3 minutes to go, the next one with 1 minute to go, and everyone had gone, wow, he's pretty good. And then the next three games, he played the full 90 minutes, I think. I'm not sure he came off as a sub. But that I think what made him stand out to everyone's attention was that game against Portugal where he tackled Ronaldo over, and then another one, he cleared the ball on the floor. It's all on all fours, headering the ball out the way. And you think, well, that is the kind of thing that we want. And he's been absolutely immense in that tournament. And this is really, really good. We always hear about pre-World Cup, if you want a player, go get him before the World Cup in case he has a good World Cup. If we would have had to put a bid in for him now, I reckon we'd be looking at £50 million, maybe even more than that, because, you know, some of the, like the Monaco, Real Madrid, all the big teams, they all go, oh, we've got to go and get the star of the World Cup. I mean, look at James Rodriguez, what he did. He was pretty good at Monaco, and then he had a great World Cup, top goal scorer, and then he goes for an absolute fortune, and it turns out he wasn't really that good anyway. So I'm really pleased by it. I love the Kevin Campbell tweeted today about it, and I replied with... He looks to me like an early 90s footballer, which is fantastic. He looks like a young South American David Hillier. That's what we want at the club. Someone who is not going to give a damn about when they're going for a tackle. They're not going to go, oh, no, don't hurt me. He's going to go, come on, then. I don't care if I'm as knee high to a grasshopper. I'm going to take you the ball and then I'm going to win it and get away with it. Brilliant. Yeah. Really excited to see him play.
That's kind of the reaction that I've been gauging from people on Twitter as well. Dom, obviously, first time you saw him as well was this tournament. I think I sent you a couple of like YouTube links and stuff to watch. But that's always hard to judge what a player's like. So what have you made of him?
One thing I like is the way that he can cover ground in that position. And I've sort of came to, I don't want to bring up Arsene Wenger and use this as a stick to beat him with at all, but the defensive midfield is a position of the pitch that a lot of us had been wanting for a very long time. And I just think the difference in the way that we're going to play football going forward is going to require one, maybe two. whereas under Arsene Wenger, it was more of a free-flowing style that perhaps wanted a playmaker back there. But I've wanted a defensive player there for a long time. So I'm really happy that finally we've got the defensive midfielder because, you know, when Xhaka came in, we thought, well, a lot of people thought that that was going to be him. As you know, from watching the German league a lot, that was never going to be something that he was going to do. So do you see him next to Xhaka? Do you see him and Ramsey? Do you, like, what do you think is going to happen with the midfield under Emery with someone like this coming in?
I mean, my first impression would be that he'd be next to Xhaka, would be the guess. Again, obviously, he's new to the league and he is still very young. I know he's obviously played a lot of games for Samp and he's been sort of key in what they've done. So I hope it doesn't take him too long to adjust to the league. But he's at Samp, he plays in a diamond and he's at the base. And then they have a very tight sort of free, you know, two either side and then like a playmaker ahead. So he's always got an option. So it'll be interesting because I've never seen him play in a two before. And even for Uruguay, they played a kind of diamond system, or at least he was playing in a diamond position and then others kind of floating around him. So maybe we go back to a 4-1-4-1, something like that, or, you know, a 4-1-3-2 maybe. But I could definitely see him playing next to Xhaka. Josh, I want to come to you because obviously people have talked about his defensive abilities and the ground he can cover, the blocks and stuff. That's not just his game though, is it? He has got some passing range and some shooting ability on him as well.
Yeah, from what I saw in the tournament and the few videos that I've seen, he does look to have a decent delivery on him. Can keep the ball kind of ticking along a little like a Michael Carrick in that kind of respect, or a Santi Cazorla to make it more Arsenal-centric in that regard. But yeah, the only thing that I would perhaps not really look at, I saw one of the big videos going around of him taking set pieces. I don't think he'll ever really be close to taking a set piece for Arsenal, to be honest. We've got the likes of Mesut Ozil, Mkhitaryan, especially towards the end of the season. I thought his ability to put corners in was absolutely superb from that regard. I think we've got Granit Xhaka as well, who also takes a great set piece. I think he'll be down that pecking order, so I wouldn't expect him to be, you know, every opportunity we've got from, you know, 35, 40 yards, as the goal I think he scored for Samp earlier in the season shows that, you know, he can twat it from there, but I don't expect it to be on a regular occurrence, and he'll just be there to, you know, basically do all the cleaning up, almost as the water boy, so to speak, from a reference to this evening's football game.
Yeah. Just in the chat here, Arian H, Coxola Jr., I think that's Arian from Twitter, who I speak to quite a lot. He kind of described him quite well, I thought, as a, if you mash Cazorla and Coquelin, like the best bits of them together, the way he can move about, he's got quick feet, he can get out of tight spaces. No, he's not the same level of passing as Santi, but he can still get out of those tight little spots and he's got a long time to develop. I will just say hello quickly to people in the box. Robert Owen, Matthew Hudson, Archie, Aaron H, Viking, K-Man, Stephen Edwards, Pat Brady, Drunk Cat Filthy Law, Archie, Renry, Loki, K-Man, Taj, Daniel Cronin, Chris Lodato, No Nickname Required, our own Mr. Hollick, C-Law, Peter Coulson, Daz. If I've missed anyone, Hypnochode, Christian Anderson, apologies if anyone I've missed you off the list. Hello to everyone listening later on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever else you're listening as well. This thing now with the setup and the way it's going to go, Danny, do you think this is it now for midfielders? Are we done? There's not going to be any more incomings in that area of the pitch. Jack's obviously left. He's gone to West Ham. You know, good luck to him there. But we've got Elneny, we've got Xhaka, we've got Ramsey. We're still waiting for a signing there with that and signing his new contract, but all the talk is positive. We've got Torreira, Ozil, Mkhitaryan. We've got a lot of central players. And Ainsley Maitland-Niles has obviously moved into the first team squad numbers now. We're not going to see another player coming in that position now, surely.
Probably not. This part, they're up to the January transfer window is when everyone's going to be given a chance. We've seen that Lucas Perez has been given a squad number and he's putting pictures of himself in the Arsenal kit. I hope Joel Campbell comes back, another one who's been playing in Spain. So that's a couple of players that the manager will have seen playing in Spain because I think they Campbell had a little while over there. So that's possibly two more midfielders, wide forwards, whatever, because I think they can both play in those kind of positions. So we've got at least two players for nearly every position now. And we've got other players, if you want to play them slightly out of position, then we've probably got best two and a half, three players for every single position at the moment. Don't think we need any. We were being linked, some people were linking us with the Real Madrid right midfielder who can play right back and cover at left midfield as well. So, but I can't really see him. Yeah, he had a Z in his surname. I don't know what his name was. Sounded like Velasquez.
Huh? Was it Vasquez?
Yeah, I think that would have been it. Not Velasquez. That's him out of Highlander. so it definitely wouldn't have been him because he would come and cut some heads off and that would have been funny. But you never know. There could be some more players coming in on Thursday. I think because we don't know anything about the other two players that we're possibly signing, do we? The younger ones. So whether the people come in at that level or whether they're going to come in as, I don't think we're going to see any first team definite starters coming in. So because we've got so many people that can do those jobs at the moment, but you never know, someone might pop up that might be too good of a bargain, like that young Seri bloke winning 25 million for a player like that.
Yeah.
So something like that might come up and they might go, we have to have him. But we are going to be chock-a-block with players in so many positions. I'm even more excited than I was yesterday. It's fantastic.
yeah, just to touch quickly on the players that Danny mentioned, Matteo Guendouzi.
I didn't mention them. You'll mention them. I can't say it.
I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Him and Sam Greenwood, the other ones, they've essentially confirmed, or it's been leaked, that they are signing or have signed already for Arsenal. It's not on .com yet, so we're not going to do anything official. But starting this Thursday and being every Thursday up until the season starts, we are going to do a transfer special. So this Thursday will probably be more of an update on and a roundup on, obviously, the players already signed. Hopefully Chris will be on, who'll be able to go into the young guy from Lorient. I think Dom called him Budget. Who is it?
David Luiz.
Budget David Luiz with his hair, yeah. Because we missed out on Budget Rabiot, Adley, the young French guy from PSG. So we'll be going into that. Jason will be on for the show and a few others as well. And we'll obviously maybe go a little bit more in depth on some other stories. Saw some links with like Dybala and whoever else at the moment. But yeah, we're just more to talk about Torreira and how he's done. How long do you think it is going to take him to adjust? Just sort of going along the line, really. I know it's a really hard thing to call, but do you think he's going to be, Dom, do you think he's going to be this sort of guy who's going to come in and adapt fairly quickly? Because although Serie A is obviously very different league, the way Uruguay play is more akin to, I guess, Atletico Madrid is sort of the standout team, you'd say. So they're quite physical and ready to really work hard, which, you know, would definitely be a huge plus for the Premier League.
I think he's going to benefit from what it sounds like Emery's game plan is going to be, which is a little bit more structured, a little bit more, you know, keeping things a bit tighter and maybe playing on the break. When you see him, right, when you're playing for Uruguay, they work so hard as a team. That's why they're able to play Cavani and Suarez together up front, is because they both get back into midfield and cover and help. And it's a very, very impressive team game that they have operating there. I think he's going to be, I actually think he'll be okay. I think he will adjust reasonably quickly, mainly from what you were saying earlier, where the Sandy Cazorla trait of being able to get out of those tight spots is something that Xhaka can't do. And I think that's what's stopped Xhaka from kind of developing a little bit more quickly, or his struggle to adapt to the Premier League, is that you just don't get the time on the ball that maybe he was used to, or maybe he was being asked to play a role that he isn't actually able to do that well, which is, you know, if you're being pressed by everyone and you don't have that ability to sneak out of tight spots, which is what I think when people say we're missing Santi Cazorla, that's the aspect of our game that I think it was that we were missing, not necessarily the other parts of his game, which we know are brilliant, but it's that ability to get out of a jam. And when you're so small and your center of gravity is quite low, and he is very strong for a small kid, like Danny said before, hip and shouldering Ronaldo and sending him flying was one of my favorite moments of the World Cup so far. and, you know, I don't actually think Ronaldo was taking much of a dive. I think he got quite a good shove there. So when you see that and you see his ability over the ball and the ability to protect the ball, I think that's going to be very, very welcome attribute to our midfield that players like Ramsey and Ozil are going to feed off of. That's the part that I'm most excited about seeing, and it's probably the reason why I think that he's going to adapt a little faster than some of our other signings that we've made recently.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. There's been a few that have come in that we've, you know, not huge, huge hype, but, you know, look back at, say, Kolasinac, who came in, obviously, as left back of the season in the Bundesliga and started really well, but then faded very quickly. And I think maybe suffered a little bit from the, not necessarily the physicality, but the speed of the league a little bit. Josh, it should go without saying, obviously, it's not just Emery who, you know, we've been told that he has some influence on transfers. He has no final say. But, you know, this window as a whole and this particular signing, because by all accounts, it was done. You know, it was just literally medical and photo shoot to do when he flew over. Big credit here to, you know, Sven, Raul, and Ivan as well, who Ivan in particular has got a bit of a pasting on this podcast from different people. But they've done really, really amazing in the transfer business, especially in a window where, you know, the window's closing before the season starts and getting, looks like, near enough all of our business done before the World Cup's even over is really incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a case of, you know, we've heard before, or certainly when these guys were coming in, that they were working on transfers for windows that were one or two away from that point of view. So it may have been a case that, you know, a case of, we don't need to get cover in January for Bellerin. You know, these players weren't available in January. That's the reason why we didn't sign them then. And I think it's a case that now, you know, wait till Lichtsteiner in that regard, you know, his contract gone out. We'll get him in then. Torreira, you know, his release clause became active in this summer. So again, there was a lot of bits and pieces that I think just getting it all done early. I'm not gonna moan that much about it getting done fundamentally, but I think there is a case that we need to look at that it's not just a case of, oh, it's because Wenger's not dithering on it anymore. I think it's now that transfers are now looked at more in a holistic sense rather than just a single entity dealing with them, then I think that's just allowed the process to become a lot more efficient with everybody firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, things were obviously going to change when Arsene left anyway. And, you know, I don't think anyone here is complaining about him and the things he did and the signings he did. But he's very odd going in. You know, pre-season has just started and we're seemingly, you know, almost done in our transfer dealings unless, like Danny said earlier, you know, superstar becomes available in sort of the way that Ozil did last minute in that summer window. Danny, I just want to come to you and see, have you got young Lucas's stats for us?
Certainly do. He's 5'6". He's 22 years old. He was born in February. He comes from the place where all the greatest pies in the world are made. He's only played 8 caps for Uruguay, and 5 of those were in the World Cup. So this bloke is steaming through his career at an amazing rate. 22 years old, just looking at his performances last season in Serie A, 36 games, 4 goals, 1 assist, only 6 yellow cards, played 3,185 minutes and played a couple of games in the Coppa Italia. But his goals came, he got 2 against Verona, 1 against Juventus, and they lost 3-2. And then he got another one later on in the season against Torino. He only had 1 suspension all season and he missed the last game of the season. But looking at his, he's had a few under 21 caps as well. I had to go and look at this, the Spanish speaking Wikipedia to go and find that. The season before last, he had 35 games in the league for Sampdoria. And then the season before that, he was at Pescara in Serie B. Played 5 league games, and I think maybe Sampdoria bought him and loaned him back to Pescara. Then he got 29 games and 4 goals. So if he was 22, 21, 20, he's been playing in Italy since he was 19. So it doesn't say that he played any games back in his homeland of Uruguay, but he was at Montevideo Wanderers. So I think they play in the top league down there. And he's, as you see by his Twitter, that he's usually squad number 34. And so I thought he was going to try and get that. But giving him squad number 11 is brilliant. So he's got Mesut Ozil's old number. And it just seems like a really good player. I'm really happy for him. But I'm surprised that he's only just been called up to the Uruguay squad. All of his 8 caps have all come in 2018.
He's definitely come onto the scene this World Cup, hasn't he? Like you said, Danny, he didn't even start the first couple of games. But what he did show in the little minutes that he had got him a starting spot, and then the games that he played, he was almost undroppable, wasn't he?
Certainly was. Really impressed with him. And but Steve Lord Hillwood did say that he's moving to his second new country in the space of, what, 4 years. I don't think he speaks much English. There's a couple of things where he was Arsenal put out a video on Twitter where he's tapping his wrist and going, it's time. And I thought, you're not even wearing a watch there. Someone could have given him a watch because maybe someone's told him that English for wrist is it's time or something like that. So I did tweet that, and Arsenal completely ignored me talking absolute nonsense.
This is your Asperger's playing up again, Danny. Just
yeah, I feel sorry for the poor boy.
There is a full welcome video, and he's got a translator and a full-time linguistic expert as well with him.
Yeah, he
they introduced at that point.
I think they talked to him about the, I'm going to say this horribly wrong, Garachurara. I can't even say it. The warrior mentality Uruguay thing. Garra Charrua. I can't speak Spanish. Right, I'm sorry. I'm terrible. I did French at school, not very well. So yeah, he's definitely got that fighting spirit. But yeah, there's enough Spanish players in the squad who will help him. Obviously, Unai as well. That's a big benefit. The fact that he'll be able to speak to him in his native language to explain things to him, I think, is a really big plus. You know, so I'm really happy with the signing. It, like I said, a lot of people had tweeted me and asked me, because obviously I do watch Serie A, and said, how come you never really spoken about him before, or why you never mentioned him for Arsenal? When the main reason why was because all the people we've been linked to previously for that position or with Emery had been, you know, like Steven and Zonzi and players like that. And not that I have a problem with those kind of players, but because of the difference in size and stature, the way they play, Torreira just didn't jump out to me as the type of guy we'd go for. I think his size is people making out that's an issue is ridiculous when you look at N'Golo Kante and how he's been one of the best midfielders in the Premier League since he's joined. He's been one of the best midfielders in the World Cup as well. I think he was excellent again today.
You just don't have to kick people to be a good defensive midfielder, do you? A lot of Kante's qualities, what I've noticed from Torreira in the World Cup, has been his ability to cover ground and intercept.
Yeah.
Getting into those holes and getting into the spaces and reading the game.
Yeah.
But then, like, the being press-proof as well, that's the extra little element on top of his game that I'm excited for.
Yeah. The if we do press in the way that Emery likes to and wants to, he's going to be key in that, in reading those passes out. Because if you press people, you make them panic and you make them make bad decisions. And he's got the ability to read those or nip in front of a player. It's I'm really, really excited. Like, genuinely, I wasn't buzzed about Socrates too much or Lichtsteiner or anything, but this signing really does get me excited. If you do have questions in the chat, please do put them in there. We've already got a few, but please do fire away. Just going to take this opportunity quickly now whilst you write some. If you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. It really helps us out. Give us a thumbs up if you can. If you do subscribe, hit the bell icon. You'll be notified when we go live, because often we tweet from our Twitter account at the AFC Podcast. And Danny or someone else, not just Danny, but other people, sometimes put the wrong time or even the wrong day or the wrong host or the wrong guests.
Tweeted a link to this live show and used yesterday's World Cup and a JPEG file. So yeah,
there you go. Ignore that. So if, the best way to do it is subscribe and hit the bell icon. If you're listening on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other podcast listening device, thank you so much for listening. Really, all of them, they really do help out. Obviously, YouTube Live. If you can't be there, that's fine. We understand. But yeah, always appreciated. So we will go to some of the questions now. One from Peter Coulson here. I have a sick feeling that Ramsey will go. How much will we be likely to get for him? And who can we invest the money in to replace him and mend Jason's broken heart? Oh, dear. I mean, we still don't know about Ramsey and if he is definitely going or not, but it is a possibility because he hasn't signed yet. So, Josh, I'm going to go to you on this one. What do you think?
I think this comes into Seal or AFC's question as well about, is it a matter of just money for, is it why Rambo hasn't signed a new contract? I think it's a bit of, it's a bit of politics between the fact that his agent has only just set up a new agency. He's trying to basically, he needs like a big flagship deal to say to other people, this is why you should join me. and my new company, is the case that, you know, he needs to look like he's got a decent deal from Aaron Ramsey and show that he's got this kind of level with big clubs so that he can ultimately grow his business. And I think it's a case of Arsenal just going, well, you know, we came to you earlier in the season, we offered you a deal and you're like, oh no, I'm too busy setting stuff up, I can't do it right now. And now he wants to get this stuff over the line. We're just, you know, playing the game and just pushing back. And it's not going to be too risky a subject, because I think fundamentally Ramsey still wants to stay with us. I think it is just a case of, it's more politics than money. I think it's just a case we'll be pushing for that. And I expect to see it, you know, Ramsey signing before the season starts, to be honest.
I'm usually really pessimistic with this stuff, but in Ramsey's case, from, you know, all reports, I really do think he's going to stay. I think that Josh is spot on. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, letting Jack go, I just have a feeling that Emery has Ramsey as part of his plans. And I also think that Ramsey will end up wearing the captain's armband next season.
Don't you think that Ramsey will also be really excited with what's going on? He would say that we are his club. He's been here long enough. He's the longest serving player. Like Dom says, he's probably going to be made captain. Hopefully he'll be made captain. And we saw that he was made captain at Wales at a young age. So maybe leaving it this long before making him captain is probably a good idea. But anybody who's going to be in and around Arsenal at the moment, I mean, I'm just such a pessimist all the time, and I have no pessimism left at all. I'm so excited and up for the next season. And Ramsey has got to see that. But the club have got to treat Ramsey with respect and give him what he wants and let him know that he is one of the most important two or three players at the club. Otherwise, someone like Real Madrid could want to come in and swoop for him. Or I don't think he'd go to another big Premier League team. But they've just got to show him that he's loved and that everyone is behind him. And this next two seasons are going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
It also just goes into no nickname required's next question as far as the fringe players exiting, et cetera, as with Ramsey's contract. I also have a feeling that they may wait to see what they can offer with wage bills, et cetera. So I wouldn't be surprised if we wait till the season starts or the transfer window's all closed to then be able to, you know, finalise Ramsey's contract.
Yeah. If, you know, I'm hopeful that he signs. I do still think it's a possibility he doesn't. You know, I don't know. You know, all the noises and everything that we've heard and that's on Twitter and everywhere else have been mostly positive. So hopefully that's the way it goes. If he did go, then yeah, I think we would have to bring someone in. I think the difference is if Ramsey leaves, then it maybe opens up the opportunity to get a different type of player. You don't necessarily have to get a central attacking player. You can get a wide player. If he was to go within the Premier League, even with a year left on his contract, I'd expect at least 40 million just because the price of players in the Premier League is so ridiculous. And he is British as well, which is a big plus. Abroad, I'd still probably think if it was a big team, which I think he's good enough to pay for, like a Bayern or someone, you'd probably still get 30 million because I just think he's that good a player. And he's the sort of guy who can play for a long time as well. Right, on to the next one. Kman 1867. Arsenal now are a bit heavy in numbers in defence and midfield. Who do you see going out in this window? In terms of midfielders, I don't think there will be any. Defenders, I think there's a possibility of Mustafi maybe. That depends, though. If he goes, then I still expect someone else to come in, and I think it might be that young Turkish guy who we spoke about previously. If not, then maybe Koscielny in, like, January time. I don't know about you guys. Danny, do you think anyone's going to go, like, from the midfield or the defence anyway?
If anybody does go, then it's going to be young players going out to get Premier League experience. Maybe he wants to, it would make sense for him to go, look, we've got the core of experienced players, some of that have been away for a while, some that are coming back in, some that haven't had a chance for whatever reason to not play. So maybe he's going to concentrate on the main core of older players to make sure he can fit everybody in and give everyone a try. So he may say to Mavropanos, to the Jeff, or maybe even Maitland-Niles or Rob Holding, possibly even Iwobi, that some of those players might be go out on like a six-month loan until the January transfer window. Then he can assess the rest of the squad, because you can't have older players going out on loan. I mean, look at me. Joel Campbell's now 26. He's a year younger than Ramsey. The only exception to that, I think, could be if Dave the Bins doesn't go, isn't sold, then maybe go out on a season-long loan. because you kind of know what you've got with goalkeepers. And Carl Jenkinson, sadly, he's got all the Arsenal bedspreads in the world, but he doesn't really have a future at the club. I'd like to see him given a chance because he's a half-decent right-back. Maybe yeah. using for the cup games, he could do for the early rounds of the Europa League. So there's a few other ones out there, but yeah, everyone needs to be given a chance. So it could be a bit hectic at the beginning of the season. Maybe a lot of the younger players coming on as subs, but I wouldn't let anybody go. I'd want lots of players all working together, and the more players you've got aiming for the same thing, the team harmony is going to be really good.
Yeah. Do you think we are heavy in midfield? I still think we need to get another first choice central midfielder in.
I don't. To be honest, I mean, you look
in that position because we've only got Rambo.
Rambo, Xhaka, Elneny, Torreira now.
That's it.
And Maitland-Niles.
Maitland-Niles as well.
Ooh, well, we've seen Maitland-Niles play, what, 5 games in central midfield and been overrun in four out of five.
So you could say that about the entire Arsenal team and every single player on the squad from last season.
he's obviously seen as part of the plans. He's been given a first team number. He's there or thereabouts, and he is, you know, whether you think that he's good enough or not, he's obviously considered for the position. So I think if someone extra is to come in, then you're still looking at getting someone out.
I think we need to know what formation he's going to play, because you could even maybe see Ozil dropping down into a deeper role than rather than just playing the attacking midfielder, maybe pulling the strings in the center of midfield, because I think there might be a few players that aren't going to be playing in the same positions this season as they have played in previous seasons, because quite often you've seen that they've been a little bit ineffective. But it all depends on how many are going to play. But I think it may well be three players playing in the central midfield, one as the anchor between the defence and the midfield, which is going to be Torreira, it's going to be Lucas, and then you're going to have a couple around him, but then you're going to want to move them in and out, because we can't have players like we did last season playing best part of 60 games for a season, because we saw coming towards the end of the season, some of them were breathing out of their backside during games, and we can't have that.
I have a funny feeling that we might see some of the outgoings late into the window. If you think about Emery's first pre-season there, maybe he just wants to see how everyone is training and you know, how well and how fast they adapt to his new system. The big thing with something like this is it's such a big change, and I know people are going to get annoyed at saying this kind of stuff, but I feel like you're going to see a better Granit Xhaka. I feel like you're going to see a better Mustafi under Emery, because of the system change and the things that are different. And maybe that means that some of the attacking players won't be as, you know, amazing and have so much flair under a new man. You know, it's just going to change a little bit, where maybe he just wants to see how they all go throughout the preseason, take them on the tour, figure it out. Maybe he keeps Lucas Perez. Maybe he sells Lucas Perez last. Like, I think he's just going to take his time when it comes to outgoings. We're a pretty big club. It's not like they're going to have a shortage of suitors to either loan the players or sell them. So maybe he just wants to really get a bit more of an idea of what he's got before he starts flicking people out the door.
We've got a decent pre-season as well. We've got Atletico Madrid, PSG, Chelsea and Sevilla. And so, and like you were saying, Dom, that the last game is on the 4th of August. The transfer window is the 7th of August. So they've got four big games there where we will get a chance to see what everybody can do. It's not like we're going to go and tour places with them playing against like teams that would be the equivalent of League One or Championship teams. They're all really decent teams. So they're all going to get a good chance. And then you'll have 3 or 4 days to work out if any of those want to go before the window shuts on the 7th.
Yeah, we can still, I believe I'm correct, we can still sell to leagues outside the Premier League. We just can't buy after the window's closed. I think we can still sell to like La Liga and places like that. I could be wrong, but I think that's the new rule.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, it's the same as it was anyway with stuff like Russian leagues MLS.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Dom's right. You know, Emery's come in and he wants to give everyone a chance. He doesn't know the squad fully. There's players who've been out on loan who he maybe hasn't seen as much of. Obviously, he got the job on the back of, you know, showing videos and what he wants to do in training and all that kind of thing. But yeah, so a few more questions and then we will wrap up for tonight. Don't forget, though, tune in Thursday and we'll have a full transfer roundup.
And Friday.
We'll go into the two young players who I see a few of you are talking about in the chat. Hopefully, we'll have Chris on to talk about the French boy, because he's probably the only one who's actually seen him.
He plays for Chris's team, doesn't he, in Ligue 2.
Oh, yes, for Lorient. Yeah, he's on loan from someone, isn't he? I can't remember now. Or was, anyway. Prince Sivas... Oh, I can't say that, I'm sorry. Prince something. I apologise. I don't want to butcher your name. Will Emery go for a 4-2-3-1 formation? How do you see Ramsey, Xhaka, Ozil and Torreira all fitting in the team together? I'm sorry if I'm saying Torreira wrong. I've probably been saying it wrong all night.
I'm thinking of a game every time I see his name. Torreira.
Oh, Torreira, yeah.
That's probably for everyone now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably closer to that. Personally, for me, Emery likes 4-2-3-1. I assume that's what it would be. So I would think it would be Xhaka and Torreira as the two. Ozil and Ramsey. And I'm not sure. I assume, you know, maybe it's like a floating three behind the striker. Which would be Mkhitaryan, Ramsey and Ozil when they sort of move about positions a bit more fluidity. But they know their defensive roles. I don't know about you guys, if what you see with the midfield being like, Dom?
I'm not sure. I think PSG is a little bit of a different situation to what we have going on purely because you have to play Neymar, you have to play Mbappe, you know, and you have to play Cavani. You can't really be sitting one of the three on the bench all the time. It's just not going to work. So I also do wonder maybe he plays Lacazette up front with an Aubameyang similar to what Mbappe was doing at PSG. Maybe that works. But then it begs the question, what does Mkhitaryan do? So I think that part of the pitch is the interesting one for me where, you know, someone earlier... don't think I see it in the question box. Apologise for not getting your name, but it was asking about, you know, a potential winger, maybe a Dembele on loan, which I would love because I think we're missing that type of player. But it would mean someone has to go because you look at that part of the field with the midfield, how it is, and the numbers that we have, if it is a 4-2-3-1, that's a lot of players vying for essentially two positions because the number 10 spot's going to be Mesut Ozil. So...
yeah, that is that's the tough thing. So I don't know, maybe it is 4-3-3, you know, some variation on that. You know, we're not sure. I'm of the opinion, you know, it's better that we've got options. That's the good
thing. Oh yeah.
Well, the previous seasons where we've lacked depth or we haven't had competition for places, that's the best thing we could ask for, you know.
This transfer window as a whole, just summarizing it as it is so far, is the first transfer window that I've gone, you know what, if the players work out, they work out. If they don't, they don't. Like I can't criticize the club, you know, or the player. It's more that, you know, we've done what we needed to do, I think. We've got the positions in the areas that we're severely lacking. And if it works out, then great. If not, I can't really bash the club because they've done the best, I think, that they could with the resources they had. I'm not over the moon about Socrates. I think maybe they could have gotten someone a little different, but I really hope that he works out and that he fits the game plan. But as far as personnel in the right positions, I think that we're looking pretty good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just going to speed through a few more questions. Arian HQ, do you see us signing another player, maybe a winger? Dom just mentioned it there. Again, you know, according to the oracle that is Ornstein, all praise the Ornstein, he says that all of our transfer dealings are done now, you know, as in terms of first team players. Again, I think if an opportunity arises for a particular player or someone comes in and bids, you know, decent money for, I don't know, Danny Welbeck or someone like that, then maybe that changes, you know. I think there's always room for movement on that, but this was the plan. These were the areas that we were told that they wanted to sort out defence. They wanted a central midfielder and they wanted a goalkeeper. And they've gone out and done that. So I think they've addressed the key areas, or Emery saw was the key areas. And, you know, the transfer team have managed to do that for him, got the players in. Anything after that will be a bonus. But, you know, there's still some weeks left. No nickname required. Kind of linked in a little bit. While it's nice to see new players coming in, does the lack of concrete information regarding our fringe players with exit door worry you? Need to make space in the squad and trim the wage bill. Josh, does it worry you, or is it just still extremely early and we've done all our business and no other teams have, basically?
Yeah, I think it's a case of it just feels a bit strange that we're getting this all done in quite quickly. But bearing in mind last season that I think we basically got our wage bill to capacity. A new season started, so it means we get an extra £7 million a year to juggle with from financial fair play rules within England. So we can easily just, you know, we'll trim that down at some point. I don't think it's something we need to necessarily worry about as fans. The fact that we've got everybody in and we're still not looking like we're trying to ship people out probably says that our wage budget is absolutely fine at the moment. It's only going to become a problem when we're, you know, preventing us from doing some kind of business. Now, if that business is giving Aaron Ramsey a new contract or, you know, it's doing this or it's doing that. We saw a lot of outgoings as well this summer. So we need to bear in mind, you know, Jack Wilshere was, what, pulling in 7,500 a week?
Somewhere around
that. Also, yeah. Something in and around that ballpark. And, you know, Lischsteiner, that's probably his wage also, probably for a bit more because he came on a free. But, you know, Torreira, young guy, he's going to be on that kind of money. So I don't think we've not brought in anybody who's demanding big wages, to be honest. So I think we're probably in quite a healthy position. The only thing I'm slightly worried about is, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, we've got a glut in centre-back.
Yeah.
Got a lot there. But, you know, Emery's probably got his ideas there for who's going to stay. I think maybe we'll see Mustafi sold if we need to try and get quick funds in and make a purchase further up the field. But otherwise, I'm not overly worried at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone has just put in the chat how to pronounce his name. Torreira. Probably still saying it wrong. Big Bunny Kane, thank you anyway. He tried. I'm sure we'll all learn once the season starts, so they'll probably put it on .com.
The trouble we had with Ozil.
Yeah.
That took a year to get right.
Right, last couple, and then we are done for tonight. Sido, do you think we would finish top three next season? Danny, you look sexy. That's not from me, that's from Sai. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, John. Yeah, you usually WhatsApp me that. So it's kind of messages to me. Now, if that question's to me, yeah, I think we can finish top three if we've got plenty of players. I know nothing about training, but apparently they've been doing lots of training sessions a day. And they're going to be doing that all through. We've got a decent, really tough pre-season. That's going to get everyone going. If you believe Twitter, the players are now allowed water. After 22 years of not being allowed to have water.
I love that.
Dear, oh dear. Some of the nonsense. You never even know if it's tongue-in-cheek or whether it's actually someone who's silly enough to believe that. I think we can make top three. Partly because Chelsea are, I don't even know if Chelsea are allowed in the country at the moment. It's Man United are just going to keep buying all the players in the world for all the money in the world, and they're still going to be playing terrible football. And so it's going to be Man City first. You ain't going to stop those. With today, they've just announced that they're signing Mahrez, which is going to give them even more pace and goals and width. And so Man City are top. Then it's going to be battling between us and Liverpool because Kane's going to go to Real Madrid. It's going to be us and Liverpool first, second and third place. There you go.
Very cool.
Positivity isn't any good, is it? I'm gonna have to stop it.
Yeah. No, even me. I'm honestly, I think we can do top three because I just think because Chelsea are in such a mess at the moment, and yeah, we've got the two early games against City and Chelsea, and I think we're gonna have most of our first team available. And I think majority of Man City's was playing or been playing in the tournament the whole way through. So
you can build you can build a City first 11 from players playing in the semi final.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
so I think it's perfect playing those teams first up. I know a lot of people were dreading it, thinking it's a disastrous start, but most of our good players didn't even go to the World Cup. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's no better time to play those two teams, I feel, with Chelsea being in such a mess and Man City, you know, potentially not even having half their players back for game one. So,
yeah, exactly. Mahrez played a couple of games, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, some would say he didn't play any.
Well, I tell you what, nobody would have predicted that Danny Welbeck would be the last Arsenal player to return from the World Cup.
That's true.
Tell you that. right, last two, and then we are all done because Jace is going to shout at me otherwise. Hyper Frantic, do you think Kolasinac will play a bigger role next season? Dom, what do you reckon?
Yeah, only because he didn't play a huge role this season, so that can't be hard.
Has anyone noticed that Kolasinac has seemed to have lost a bit of muscle over the summer?
Is it
looks trimmer.
He looks a little bit trimmer.
He looks a lot trimmer. So perhaps he's been told to lose a bit of weight because he wasn't the most agile of players when I saw him, and perhaps he was struggling with acceleration.
I mean, he was all right once he got going because you just couldn't stop him, but it just took a while to sort of speed up.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were in the penalty area at that point. He was just about crossing the halfway line.
right, one last question from Tajai Headley. What about the new youth coach in Freddie and new talent in Sam Greenwood and the French centre mid? Right, Sam Greenwood and the French centre mid, we're not going to talk about now because it's not official. But Thursday show, which will be the first of every single week on Thursday from now till the start of the season. We're doing transfer shows, updates, keeping it all going. Oh, look at that. Mr. Hollick has had a lump on Arsenal each way. 25-1. Very good man. Nice. Always brave. But yeah, we'll be talking about those two on Thursday. Hopefully we'll have Chris on to talk about the young French kid. As for Freddie and the youth coaching setup, I'm just happy to have Arsenal men back at the club. Actual players. Sometimes I don't make the best coaches, but having them around, I think they've all got good experience. They've got good stories to tell. They know what it means to play for Arsenal, how important it is, you know, what the shirt means, what it means to the fans. And I think sometimes you can just have people literally as ambassadors who still have a good influence on young people. You see it at a lot of the big clubs. You know, Juventus do it, Manchester United do it with ex-players. I think Man City are starting to do it as well now, although all their previous players haven't actually won anything, so it doesn't really matter. but, you know, it's a good connection. It's a good connection. It's good for the young players to learn from. But that's it. Right, that is all we're going to do for tonight, because otherwise we've gone on too long. Again, thank you to everyone in the chat box for interacting all night. Thank you for joining us for all our World Cup shows as well. We'll still be doing them, obviously, until the till the World Cup finishes. But, yeah. There's 149 of you watching, and I've only got 38 thumbs up. Look, I know Jason isn't on. I know Chris isn't here. He's come back from Malta. He's all tanned and, you know, kind of looking like a lobster pirate now. But he's going to be on Thursday for our transfer show, so be sure to tune in for that. But make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, press the bell icon so you always get notified whenever you go live. If you're listening on iTunes or SoundCloud or whatever, do whatever the like equivalent is on there. Give us a review if you can. Really helps us out. Make sure you follow us on our Facebook page at Burkamp Wonderland, Burkamp Wonderland, and on Twitter at the AFC Podcast. Have I done all the plugs, Danny? Did I do them all? Did
I get more? I think you have done, covered them superbly. Now.
Oh, I hate it. I have to do it every time. It's horrible. They make me do this. I don't even get paid for it. It's dreadful.
I didn't do it for 5 years. It's just a, I haven't told anybody. Secret.
Right. And that just leaves you to say thank you, Danny, for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for hosting.
Thank you, Josh, for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, Dom, for commenting on my lack of beard.
No problem. Anytime. You know I've got you covered.
Always is. So that is it from us at ABW Live. We'll see you Thursday for our first of the season for transfer shows. So join us then. Bye-bye.